Okay, we're going to move right along. Karen Solberg is going to come up and talk about federal and state coordination.
Actually, may I stand here? Because I am going to be turning this over to two others in a minute. Earlier today, when we were looking at our flowcharts, and we were looking at the point when a developer, let's say, submits a site assessment plan and or a site assessment plan and a construction operations plan to BOEM, and then BOEM would reach out to the federal agencies to ask for the federal agencies to comply with their organic statutes and regulations and conduct the analysis that you're required to. I mentioned that I wanted to hear some ideas and talk a little bit today and maybe think about how we could talk about even more at our next meeting. How would the federal agencies work with our state agencies and tribal governments and local officials as you do that work? And would it make sense to consider really thinking through a very coordinated process for doing that and think about how that could be done in a very efficient manner? And also be thinking about what kind of data would the federal agencies and our state agencies be interested in collecting as a way to help developers know what would be expected, and are there ways to share protocols early on? Perhaps, for example, I'll just take an example. U.S. Fish and Wildlife might work with the state and the Fisheries and Wildlife to review what kind of data U.S. Fish and Wildlife would be really interested in looking at as part of an offshore deepwater wind proposal to make sure the state's interests were included in that, so that there wouldn't be perhaps duplicative or perhaps even not in harmony requests from two different kinds of agencies. So I thought I'd just ask, for those of you that might have been participants in other task forces in other states on the federal side, if you have any thoughts on how we could start to be coordinated in that fashion, and what can I do and what can the state do to really become aligned should we receive, let's say, an unsolicited request for a lease site. So that's one set of questions I wanted to throw out there. And then I also want to ask Mitch Tannenbaum from our Maine Public Utilities Commission to talk for a few minutes about the state of Maine's efforts to initiate a request for proposals for a long-term contract for up to 25 megawatts of deepwater ocean wind and up to 5 megawatts of tidal power. And then also ask Kathleen Layden from our state planning office to just say a few words about her thoughts for how we might work, at least at the state level, possibly with federal agencies and the public on a public outreach and involvement process. So maybe I'll just ask initially, for those of you who have been part of other state task forces from the federal agency side, do you have any thoughts or suggestions for how you and our state agencies might start working together to prepare for the possibility of the development of wind off the coast of Maine in federal waters?
I think that from the start up, Chris Wolf from National Interest Group. I don't think I have any real specific recommendations, but it is a little different when we're dealing with Massachusetts, Rhode Island, because some of the agencies work very, very closely with you know, state and federal agencies work very, very closely on projects. In Massachusetts, there's a joint environmental impact statement, environmental impact report that are going through the same regulatory review process at the same time. So a lot of the same information needs are out there for both processes. So I think that using this task force is definitely a real critical way to get that information exchange. But as far as specific recommendations, nothing specifically has come out of the other task forces that I know of to really get at that question.
Are there any thoughts from the BOEM members that are here in terms of how you might help us to get ready and organize to do that interagency cooperation?
I think, first of all, it's difficult to speak in generalities and get people to engage when you don't have a specific project or location in mind. But having said that, we're willing to do whatever you would like us to engage in this and keep the lines of communication open in terms of what's going to be necessary moving forward. But really, I think for the other agencies especially, they would like to see a more concrete proposal before they weigh in on the issues that are important to them. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I will emphasize that the number one question that we're getting, certainly that I'm hearing from potential wind power developers, is how do we know whether federal agencies are going to want the data? And the number one question I'm getting from state agencies is, you know, how do we know how to get involved and when to get involved? So it is something that's very important to those that would like to move forward with wind. And I think our state agencies want to know how to plan and be ready. What kind of burden is on them to collect data, for example? How much can they rely on federal data and applicant data, obviously? So those are really important issues to people that really are thinking of doing wind. So I understand that, you know, it's hard in the abstract to know what to do, but I want to pass the point a bit, even though it's maybe uncomfortable, that for to the extent we might help think for the next meeting how we might look at the kinds of data requests that would be part of a NEPA review, what the federal agencies would be looking at, what are the key issues, what kind of level of data. And our state agencies have a sense of what responsibility they would have in turnaround times. That's going to make a real difference to people that are trying to think about, you know, how might we move forward with wind and federal water. So that's why I asked for this to be on the agenda, because when we hear about long permitting times, I think one way we might be able to shorten them and really generate goodwill is to be as coordinated as possible around the whole issue of data review analysis and sharing of expertise. So I thank you in advance, and I'll be certainly working with members to think about how we can get into this in more detail perhaps at the next meeting. So thank you very much. Maybe now I'll ask Mitch if you would spend a few minutes telling us about the Maine Public Utilities Commission RFP.
Good afternoon. As was mentioned earlier this morning, during the legislative session, the last legislative session, the new legislature passed an act to implement the recommendation of the governor's Ocean Energy Task Force. And among the many provisions, is a requirement that the Maine Public Utilities Commission conduct a competitive solicitation for proposals for long-term contracts for energy capacity and renewable energy credits. One more water offshore wind energy pilot projects, or title energy demonstration projects. And the PUC is authorized to direct these contracts. The contracts would be, the counterpart of the contract would be the maintenance of electric utilities. And we would sign this contract at the direction of the Utilities Commission. And we would direct them to authorize these contracts of 30 megawatts, five of which only be for title projects. The definition of deepwater offshore wind project under the Act is a one or more floating turbines in the Gulf of Maine located 300 feet or greater in depth, and no less than 10 nautical miles from the land area in the state, close to wetlands or uninhabited islands. Okay, so in the Act, the legislature directed the PUC to consider, you know, some of the obvious things in evaluating proposals, to include technical or financial capability, develop, construct, operate, and commission a project. We're also supposed to consider tangible economic benefits to the state, such things as a commitment to invest in the state, and relevant experience in tidal power or offshore wind development. Essentially make sure the project proposals are likely to develop. And also, in looking at the experience, to consider the potential to construct a project of 100 megawatts or more in conjunction with the original proposal. The law required the PUC to begin the process by September 1st, 2010, and he did so by issuing a request for proposals. Copies of those interested. They're also available at the Rainbow Utilities Commission website. Proposals require the sort of information you're going to need to evaluate proposals, and asks for initial proposals by May 1st of next year. We understand that we're not going to get full complete proposal information by May 1st, certainly not that permits. So the process is intended to be somewhat flexible where project developers will provide initial proposals, provide us with the information they have, provide us with timelines, or provide the information that they're building to have. And we'll take it from there and see what we get. Certainly, the PUC has never done this before. So, we really don't know what we're going to get and how the proposal will be, but we anticipate a lot of work after the proposals come in and we're on the track for it. And hopefully, this task force will help inform our process. So, we can, there's also the Radiant Act limit on these proposals and the ability to do so. Limit to how much above market contracts can be for above closer market rates as the statute. So there is a limit on how much the PUC can direct contract for. So that's it.
Okay, questions
that are available?
Tim Timmerman, EPA, just more out of curiosity, is the process that you're undertaking one way to kind of feel out where, what geographic areas of the ocean might be of interest to people so that we, as opposed to receiving something out of the dark, maybe you're getting a better sense of how the ocean looks to the people that do this work. It's something I'm always curious about because you have to decide. At some point, BOEM is going to have an RFI that goes out. It's going to be based on something, whatever. I'm just curious if that's kind of part of the calculus, or there's another approach that's happening in parallel, these two are going to combine together.
It's not a good job or vision of the Public Utilities Commission to sort of determine where the best places to do projects might be. You know, that's for probably all the other agencies to do other than us. To determine. So what we would look for is some indication that the project is or will be in the permitting process, it would be something that could be easily likely to be permitted before we depart our contract. And as long as a proposal has a permit, like to have a permit, that's all we need to know. That is easily likely to be built. The process, we imagine, would show we are developers that this project should go. That's not the point of our process.
Okay, Kathleen, can you move on to Kathleen? Hi, Kathleen. Karen asked me to say a few words about public outreach. I think most of the people that work in Maine would consider this an unusual meeting, that we don't have a room filled with interested parties. For our Ocean Energy Task Force, we have a consistent group of folks, both, you know, pro and con on either side of the topic in attendance. So to help with public outreach, we have a method to keep people in the loop during the task force process. And we've just updated our website, our state planning office website. There's now a section for implementation of our Ocean Energy Task Force's work, which includes this step. We're going to link to the MMS site and really translate, hopefully, this information to people, information that we've covered today, and where we decide to go from here for a public audience. That includes the development of some frequently asked questions, anticipating people's concerns, with the goal of really providing information to folks in a way that they can understand it. And to be able to answer questions that people have, or at least keep track of the questions, including those that we can't answer at this time. We have a really good tradition in Maine of working with non-governmental organizations that represent different constituent groups. So we plan on enlisting their support in publicizing the work that we're doing in various newsletters and other avenues, like the Maine Fishermen's Forum, which is a gathering in the spring that attracts what George coupled with the audience for the Fishermen's Forum in terms of members. Hundreds?
Hundreds.
A couple hundred fishermen in the state of Maine. And then to work with our interested parties list, to let people know about summaries of these meetings. And importantly, to develop a timeline that tells people what are some points where there'll be more of a discourse with the public. In the meantime, Matt's going to be talking about our coastal atlas, but continuing to add to that information, particularly in the area of human use mapping. So what activities are happening out there on the OCS that we can begin to catalog. And some of our non-governmental organizations are already working with fishermen and fisheries groups to do some documentation to characterize the fishery so fishermen can be really prepared to enter into this dialogue at the appropriate time to make sure that their interests are represented. So I think that pretty much covers it. I think there'll be we continue to talk about the lack of a specific area of interest at this point, and I think similar to federal agencies being able to engage more with specific information at that point, the public tends to also engage at that particular point when we're beginning to talk about a specific geography, because there's a stake in that, in specific geographies. So we'll work to develop a process that includes users of that area at the time that it comes up.
Any questions for Kathleen?
Kathleen, I know you mentioned your, have you had this before? What I wanted to ask is, do you have any outreach efforts already in place? Have you targeted specific communities that you mentioned, the fisheries, or is that going to be something that's coming next? Like, besides the task force, Ocean Governance, or the State Ocean Energy Task Force that you had last year, is there any specific efforts that are going on right now by the state?
Aside from... aside from the updating of our website, we haven't engaged in any sort of public outreach process around the task force. We maintain good relationships with our non-governmental organizations that are doing some human use mapping, and have also engaged with federal agencies. NOAA had a small project on the Maine-New Hampshire border to do human use mapping. So that's pretty much the extent of the work at this time. We do have a responsibility given to us by the Ocean Energy Task Force report of developing an opportunities and constraints piece of information using the data in the Coastal Atlas, and to make that information available through a WAC portal to users, but that's not at this time. Any other questions? Questions for Mitchell? Questions for Karen? Now we're going to move on to the next part of the program. Cindy is going to discuss the request for interviews.